We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
If your hope is for Mitchell Trubisky to become the Bears franchise quarterback and not worry about the position, he has to use that part of his quarterbacking weaponry. It's a must. It can't be the other way. He has to be able to do that. I wish in an honest moment that you could find out if they actually are simplifying, or if Mitch is like, you know what, I'm looking at my first read, my second read. If it's not there, I'm going to take off. The idea of him being a primarily pocket passer and that's going to lead to his career success, I think is a little questionable. I think the goal should be him using all the weapons at his disposal, and his legs are absolutely a weapon that can cause problems for defenses because you don't know where he might be.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. It is a Built for Tough Bears Monday here on The Score, and we are going to spend some time talking about the Bears. And I'm not at a loss. I have a lot of things that I want to say about this team and about what happened in yesterday's game. You'll hear my guys Rick Camp and Herb Lawrence on the show. We'll talk with Big Ant Heron at 1 o'clock. And I'm looking forward to taking your phone calls, too. 312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to call in and be a part of the show. Yesterday's game was indicative of a lot of things that have been problematic for the Bears throughout this entire season, and we're going to talk about them. But Herbie was like, hey, why don't we go through some of these plays and talk about some of these plays? I'm with you. So we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here is your rundown for Monday, December 30th. I'm so mad. December 16th, 2019. Let's talk about the Bears. This was a terrible penalty that was called on the Bears yesterday.
And Tremont Williams out there now to take in this punt. Right-footed punter O'Donnell sends it in the air on the shorter side. He runs up, and he's hit immediately. Ball comes out, recovered by the Bears at around the 49-yard line.
They're calling a penalty on Cordell Patterson, first of all, for not giving him the halo to catch. Created the fumble. The Bears fell on it. So, I mean, this is going to be a talked-about play for a period of time.
Bang, that's what bang, I think. And it should be Bears football,
yes,
recovered by DeAndre Houston Carson.
Kick catch interference, kicking team, number 84. 15 yards from the end of the kick.
Wow.
First down.
That's more in the kind of ridiculous category.
Well,
that's a baloney call.
I agree with Jeff Joniak on that. If he had called a fair catch, it's weird because it came up in a game I was watching. I was watching the FCS playoffs this weekend, and it came up in the Northern Iowa game where the guy called fair catch and he bobbled it and then got hit. And if he calls fair catch, you have to give him a chance to catch it, even if it bounces off of his body. But that wasn't the case yesterday. That was a terrible call. The problem is that just because they have a terrible call doesn't mean that you can't stop the team from getting into the end zone, and the Bears struggle to do that.
Snap back, Rodgers looking left, throws the left seam. Over the shoulder, it's Adams. He's got it into the end zone for the touchdown. Ran in from about the 10. Buster screen, tried to catch up to him and couldn't wrangle him. 28-yard strike, and the Packers up 6-0 here at Lambeau on a fourth down throw.
I remember when Buster Screen was signed that there were concerns about Buster Screen because he had been a guy that has struggled with penalties. For the most part, he's been all right this year. Yesterday, he was completely awful. And I don't mean just giving up that play. There were other big plays where he was a liability on the field. We move on. Speaking of one of those other plays where Buster Screen was a liability on the field, how about this touchdown run?
Under his center, Rodgers takes, giving Aaron Jones off to the left side. Breaks a tackle inside the 10, left of the 5. Fighting Jackson, he's into the end zone for the touchdown. 21-yard run for Aaron Jones, his 25th touchdown in 26 games.
On this play, Screen gets washed out of the play. Prince Amukamara is backing up for no reason. That was probably the game since the Dolphins game last year where the Bears had one of their worst displays of tackling. And it was contagious in the secondary yesterday. Not a one of them had a good day tackling yesterday. So, obviously, now the Packers are starting to feel comfortable. They've got guys making plays all over the place.
Snap back, four-man rush. Rodgers a throw, right side's got Coomer open the catch. Missed tackle at the 40, 35-30. Another attempted tackle missed by Fuller. Inside the 10 to the 9. Nope, they'll call him out of bounds at the 11. So many missed tackles. They're not bringing guys and hitting them to put them down to the ground. I don't get it. A big play for Coomer for 49 yards and a Packers first down.
Preach on it, Jeff. It's a problem all day. Every single one of the guys in the secondary. Bad technique, bad angles, not enough effort. So how about Aaron Jones just getting to the end zone again?
Snap, handing off Aaron Jones, bowls right through. Kevin Tolliver into the end zone for the touchdown. Standing up, and it's 23, Green Bay.
Okay, and so then you're thinking, well, maybe the offense can rally, and there were definitely some good moments for Mitch, which I will get to in a few. But then he did something that I was like, oh, man, I've seen that thing before. Where the defensive lineman is like, I can't get to the quarterback. Watch me back up. And then makes a play. I remember that with six.
Pax is thrown and nearly intercepted by Lowry. Or did they say he caught it? Lowry with the pick. The Northwestern product is swiped Mitchell Trubisky on a throw to the right side. Second interception today in the Packers. That's a deadly one right there.
I'm not going to eat Mitch's lunch for the interception at the end of the first half. But that one, pretty bad. And I will say, I'd love to know what happened because that looked like an option route. And you had a receiver going one way and Mitch throwing another.
You also had a quarterback that decided to lower his arm slot instead of moving his feet.
Well, here's the thing, though, Campy. He's seen some success with that. He saw it in the game yesterday. Thought he was going to be able to get away with it. And he didn't. And it ends up getting intercepted. But the Bears still have a chance late in the game when it just went annexation of Puerto Rico.
1 second left. 21-13 Packers. Cohen and Patterson left side. Play clock to 4. Trips to the right. This time they rush 4. They throw it over the middle to Cohen at the 30. Cohen 25. Cohen going to throw back to the left side. Pass is caught by Trubisky at the 15. Looking for somebody to help him out. He gets Horsted to the 10. Horsted fumbles. Ball is picked up inside the 2-yard line by the Packers. Some kind of finish there at the end. Trubisky dropped that ball on the lateral, but then picked it up. And they were just looking for bodies. Jesper Horsted brought it down inside the 10. It fumbled forward, and Tre'Mon Williams covered it up, and that'll end the game. And it ends any playoff hopes for the Chicago Bears. They lose 21-13.
Okay, so, yes, Jesper Horsted probably should have pitched it to Allen Robinson, but you are talking about a guy who probably hasn't even done that play in practice, considering his rise to the active roster. And you still have to get the 2-point conversion, which I don't know if I had any faith in the Bears doing that. And I hate to call out the guy that's given 100% effort for most of the year, but Allen Robinson is just looking at the ball.
He had a Cam Newton moment. The ball's right there, and he's just looking at it.
Isn't he technically not allowed to recover it?
Yes, Campy, 100% because it's a fumbled forward type deal. But still.
Make them call it on you.
Exactly. And maybe it hits off of, the officials were terrible yesterday. Maybe it hit off of a Packers shoe. Make an effort.
Him and Anthony Miller are able to like slow everybody down enough where Jesper can get up and then go get the ball.
Yeah, I felt bad, man. I felt really bad because it's like we're all like, pitch it. But he doesn't know.
Well, I always get mad at the person that has the ball in his hand and gets tackled. You know you can't get tackled. Throw the ball before that guy collapses on you to somebody, anybody.
Yes. It's like throwing the ball away on fourth down.
You still need it, yes, or backing up to take a sack on third down to make it fourth and six.
Oh, my gosh.
Bad.
Like, he knows he's a quarterback. He can throw it away.
You would think he would know that, but he doesn't in some situations. And if you're lamenting the Bears not scoring on that play, Tariq Cohen, with some good analysis on why that play didn't even really matter because they shouldn't have been in that position.
What do you like about that play, given that the defense is expecting Hail Mary, and then all of a sudden you guys got some space to almost run basketball weave on it?
I don't like that play, because if we're using that play, then, you know, we're in desperation mode.
Correct. If you're using that play, that means that you something super bad happened that you had to do that. It almost worked, but you still would have had to come up with a two-point play, and this team has had a real hard time getting itself into the end zone. And that's on the players and on their coach. That is your rundown for Monday, December 16th, 2019. I want to talk to you about the Bears. I have some things that I want to say about the quarterback and some notes that I took on the game. I'll just tell you this, but before we get to your phone calls at 312-644-6767, and you can text us at 670-11. I wrote down a lot of notes about some of the things that I thought Mitch did well yesterday. And then when I got done and I had a chance to talk with my guys on the football after show and got a chance to watch the game again this morning, I have really lowered my standard for what I think a good quarterback is. And I think I don't mean to globalize it. This is really just on me. But the moments when you see Mitch make a great throw or make the right decision, like yesterday he threw hot. He picked up the blitz and threw hot and got a gain out of it. We amplify those moments because they're so inconsistent. And now with a quarterback who's finishing his third year and second year in a system, I don't want to give him those outs. I still will point out the things that I think he does well. But like we were talking about, how many times have you seen Mitch give up a sack because he doesn't throw the ball away? That he doesn't understand that if you're out of the pocket, all you have to do is get the ball back to the line of scrimmage. You've seen it multiple times this year. And you saw it yesterday, him turning a third and four into a fourth and six. Putting a sack on his offensive line because he doesn't understand, just throw it away. It's stuff like that that doesn't give me any hope that there's a better version of him waiting to come out. But that being said, I thought he said some stuff yesterday that made a lot of sense to me, and I'd like to discuss it, and we can discuss it together if you want. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
From the 39-yard line on second down, play fake, looking to throw, rolling to the near side. Trubisky throws, finds an opening. He's got Miller far side. 30-yard line of Green Bay across the field. Dropped it in the bucket to Anthony Miller on the far side. Miller having some difficulty, though, on the Packers sideline. He might be injured.
Looked like he put that shoulder back in and came back out to finish playing. Anthony Miller was a couple of really good games over the last few weeks. Mitch Trubisky makes a nice throw. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you talking about the Bears. They lose 21-13. Their season is over from a playoff standpoint. They still have two games left to play. Strangely enough, the Sunday night game was not flexed out. And Bears PR was like, oh, the NFL just let us know that we're still going to play on Sunday night. Okay. seemed to me that you could have put that Dallas-Philly game on and move the Bears-Chiefs back to 325, and you would have been all right. And the Saturday games messes some stuff up because those games can't move, because you probably want that Patriots-Bills game to go in the Sunday night spot as well, but whatever. They'll be on prime time for the entire nation to see their dysfunction. When I was writing my notes yesterday, and I told you guys before the break that I still am like, oh, man, look at that good pocket awareness by Mitch. Oh, look at that. So, like, there was the one play where he didn't go across the line and then made a nice throw. Yet there was another play earlier in the game where it's third and four, and he's running towards the sideline and takes a two-yard loss instead of getting rid of the ball. And I don't think that the way that we look at them are equal. I think that we are now erring towards the, and again, let me not globalize it. This is not on you. This is on me. I think that I have been susceptible to giving more credence to the good moments that he has in games versus the bad ones. Let me speak on Aaron Rodgers too. Aaron Rodgers had his lowest completion percentage since 2015. He was 16 of 33 yesterday. Granted, his receivers didn't help him. He also made, and Aaron Jones got dump trucked a couple times in blitz pickup. But you have seen not the best version of Aaron Rodgers. And look at what they've only scored 31 points in the two games the Bears have played against them, and the Bears didn't win either one of them. That's not great. I got some more stuff that I'm going to get to you, some good sound from people who know. I wanted to open the phone lines up today and talk with you about the Bears on a Built for Tough Bears Monday. So let's do that. 312-644-6767. Downers Grove and Joel. Hey, Joel, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Good afternoon. I want to thank you for coming on and bringing that heat, man. I felt your passion, and I agree with you 100%. I wanted to ask you about Nagy's decision to not challenge the catch that Patterson made, where it clearly looked like there was a little bit of space where both feet were in bounds. And the fact that he obviously didn't challenge the punt penalty, maybe he didn't have an option to challenge, but it just seems like...
Well, he had a bad challenge earlier in the game, and I was with you. I thought it was worth it. I thought it was worth the challenge to give you a chance to score a touchdown in that situation instead of a field goal. I'm not sure why he did it. It maybe is because he's like, look, I already lost the one timeout. I don't want to lose the other one. But I thought it was worth the challenge.
I don't think he could have challenged the one before the Patterson kick catch interference.
Yeah, because that had already been reviewed.
And it's a turnover. So that's automatically,
yeah.
Yes.
But the one with him on the sideline, I thought he should have challenged it.
I thought he should have challenged it. I don't know if it was egregious. It was bad. Not like, oh my goodness, he should have challenged it. I see his reasoning why he didn't.
No, for sure. But I think in that moment, I'm like, maybe you should do that to give your team a chance to get into the end zone. But he's doing the math, and I'm not sure the math worked out for him. John is calling us. Hey, John, you're on the Score.
Hey, how's it going, Lawrence?
Things are good. What's on your mind?
Well, a lot of things in my mind, but the one thing is that just disappoints me the most is, as I tried to give Trubisky the benefit of the doubt, I tried to stick with it all year long and say, okay, maybe he is the guy, maybe he's the guy. But when I see him step up to the line of scrimmage, call the play, and they go out in the formation, obviously this kid cannot read defenses and doesn't know how to change plays, because I noticed in this game really bad, he's got his hands on his helmet, and he's like, Nagy, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? It's like Nagy's got to tell him, okay, they're doing this, change this. It's like this kid just, I gave up on him. And the bad part is, I think there's so many reasons why this year went down. You lost Vic Fangio. The defense is not the same it was last year. He's gone. They traded around the wrong players. They traded away Jordan Howard. I wasn't a big Jordan Howard hand, but obviously he must have did something in the run game, because you have no run game since you got rid of him.
Let me speak on Mitch and him not being able to read defenses. I think that's an oversimplification, But I do think that you're right, where there seems to be a collection of quarterbacks that all the way up the chain of quarterbacking don't know how to play the position for themselves. With Mitch, we've seen when the headset goes out that he melts down. We see a lot where they're looking to the sideline for, like a college team. Like, the Bears often sometimes runs like it's Oregon. Well, let's go check with the coaches to see what it is. And quite honestly, the coaches don't know sometimes. Because there was a dime defense that you were going up against that you should have been able to get downhill and run the ball on. And you were like, no, let's have this side-to-side run game that we like to run. But yes, I think that it's something that quarterbacking has been made easier on every level. And there's reasons for that. Like, the rules allow for it. It allows the coach a little bit more control. And the quarterbacks don't necessarily have to learn. And so now you've got a bunch of quarterbacks who get to the NFL, and it takes them a while before they can do all of the things that you would want your quarterback to do. In a lot of cases, it's been successful. In some cases, there is value in a quarterback sitting and watching, like Patrick Mahomes. In some cases, it's better when the coaches can put together an offense that better suits the individual, like what we've seen in Baltimore. And some guys are going to have to learn on the fly, like we're seeing with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. I'm telling you, he's just okay. He's not bad, but he's just okay.
But you, like you said, the offense coordinator / head coach is like, okay, this is what Jimmy does. Let's put him in positions to be better and we'll win.
Yep. Expecting these guys to be Breeze or Brady is rough. But there is a middle ground. Like, even a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, he can't really do it anymore, but he knows. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. When we come back, I want to try and answer a question that a lot of you had yesterday with some expert analysis. Where's Khalil Mack? We'll do that next here on The Score.
Again, week to week, how that goes. Every team's a little bit different schematically as to what they do. And then some of it's just by, for certain things they want to try to take away. We got to find how to, counterattack that. And so not every week is going to be like last week running the football. That's just, that's just how it goes.
Perfect song, Herbie, because here we go again. The excuse making that Matt Nagy throws out there so often when it is clear what he needs to do and what he chooses not to do. Or what he's not capable of doing. I think it's possible that we should start asking those questions now, too. Someone said to me, Matt Nagy's not a dumb guy. And in principle, I agree with you. Seems like a really smart dude. But for some reason, in games, he's not smart enough to adjust to what defenses are doing to him. He can't wait to have Mitch drop back 56 times. Can't wait. It happens all the time. And with the run game, he can't wait to let's do it out of shotgun. Let's do that. Let's go horizontal with our run game. Let's not have the running back running towards the line of scrimmage at the snap. But they didn't bring him in here to run the I formation, right? And the thing is, they didn't, right? You were brought in here to improve offense. And look where your offense ranks. Near the bottom of the NFL. I joked about this on the Aloho Daily podcast last night. Anyone here want to raise their hand and say, mission accomplished, the offense has been fixed? Because it hasn't been. And now we're talking about 17, 18 games of it not being fixed. The majority of his tenure of being Bears head coach, you end up with 13 points in a game that you got to have. Yeah, you got a whole bunch of yards yesterday. Congratulations. You scored one touchdown in two games against these guys. Mike Pettine seems to have your number, and you don't seem to be willing to adjust. For a smart guy, that seems pretty stupid to me. You were probably sitting there going yesterday, well, Akeem Hicks is back. Great. This should free up Khalil Mack to make some plays. And you were right to think that. That's how it should work. It didn't work that way. Now, he wasn't completely scratched. There was a pressure that he got on Aaron Rodgers, and important was a third down, right, where he got a pressure on Aaron Rodgers. He had a tackle for loss, but only one tackle. What you can't have is, with Hicks back, Mack and Floyd give you two total tackles. That's it. That's all they gave you. They didn't get to Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Manley was on with Bernstein and McKnight as I was driving in. And I think that his analysis of where Mack has been is fair.
$141 million, right? That's what he got paid? Okay, so at the post game last night with Cat and Hub, again, like you said, people are talking about Khalil Mack. Well, if you're getting paid $141 million, I don't care how many times you're double-teamed. I don't care how much the game plan is slid your way, you need to make some plays. You can't have this many times, this many games where guys are talking about you of not being on the stat sheet, not doing enough. And that's the simple answer to that you need to see more. Once, okay, I get it. All right, the entire game plan, he's getting double-teamed, triple-teamed. It's one of those games. But this is three or four games now where he is not making the impact of $141 million.
He's right. That impact was not felt yesterday. I think Khalil Mack is a great player, and he's one of the best pass rushers I've ever seen in my life. But he hasn't had an impact on a game. And yesterday was the day to have it. I am shocked at how many snaps Akeem Hicks played yesterday. And I am shocked at his effectiveness in the game. Clearly, his elbow was killing him. And he still, what did he have, four tackles yesterday? Guy playing with a brace who hasn't played in 8 weeks. If he's having that impact and you're probably doubling Mack on the outside, except for the one pressure that he got where he came unblocked for some strange reason, then the other people who aren't getting that level of attention should be able to make plays. And they didn't. And that's what I mean about the defense. And we continue to give the defense excuses because the stats say the defense is good. But in individual games this year, there have been times when the defense had a job to do and they didn't do their job. And that time yesterday was the third quarter. You know what they could have used? Getting the ball back immediately. They could have used a three and out, and what they got was a five-play drive of 73 yards that ended up in a touchdown. You can't be elite. You can't be playoff defense. You can't be a Super Bowl defense that in the moment when your team needs the ball the most, you let the opponent go all the way down the field with impunity. And that's what they did yesterday. That's why I've been hesitant to talk about this defense being elite, even though they're only giving up 18 points a game. And that should be, you're right. You're right to say that should be enough to win games. That should be enough to get you in the playoffs. But in yesterday's game, in the gotta have it game, in the game where your season is on the line, Aaron Rodgers came out there and went, five plays, 73 yards, Three first downs, touchdown. And if that's not bad enough, they get the ball back again and go five plays, 66 yards, two first downs, and a touchdown. Game's over. We can talk about the annexation of Puerto Rico all we want. You knew it and I knew it. When it was 21-3, the game was over. And you know why you knew it was over? Because this offense doesn't score. Let's go out to South Shore and talk with Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, always good to talk, man. I'll make a few points and jump off. As far as Mitch goes, man, to me, he's shown me a little something in these last five games. What bothers me about yesterday is it was a microcosm of the season. You had Nagy come out for the first quarter of the game, maybe even the first 40% of the game, using them incorrectly. And you got nickel and dime, like you said, and, you know, you refuse to take advantage of it because they might know what's coming, as he said so many times. Well, that's called the better man just beats the better man, and that's in all of athletics, okay, and that bothers me. And secondly, about Khalil Mack, for Mitch, you know, where he's getting paid next year, you got to stick with him as the starter. Maybe have someone push him. But for Khalil, to me, he's not hungry, man. He ain't hungry like Hicks.
I disagree with you. I don't think it's a matter of want to. Like, I think that's a very easy thing for all of us to say, and I don't think it's accurate. I'm disappointed as well that he didn't make his presence known. I don't think that he's built that way. I don't think that Khalil Mack is built fat and happy, that he got the contract and he's not doing the work to be an elite pass rusher. I still think that he does get the majority of the attention of offensive play callers. And I want him to win those battles because we've seen him beat double teams and sometimes triple teams before. But the other guys have got to do something. There has to be a better version of the pass rush. And I'm just not there with you when it comes to, I'm not going to give Mitch the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't deserve it. And we're all against him anyway, right? We're all going to write him off anyway. Well, count me in on the people that write him off. We give too much credit to the good because we went so hard on the bad. It is an overcorrection by all of us when we're watching him play. The truth is, he's an NFL quarterback. And that's as far as I'm willing to go. He belongs in the NFL. But you can't tell me he's good, and there's really no metric for you to put in front of me that says that he is. So I guess the conclusion to is Mitch good week is no. There's still time for him to get better.
Could we have stretched out that resolution over a week or just like 2 seconds?
I mean, you know, we won that book. So, I mean, and this one. So I can just give people the conclusion of the week.
Spoiler alert.
After all the evidence that has been gathered, the conclusion is no, he's not good.
Yeah, because you can tell they have people. That Allen Robinson's a thing. That Anthony Miller is a good player. They have their 1 and 2 locked down. Get a good quarterback in here. Get a good play caller in here. This team's moving to the next round. They're at least a playoff team, minimum.
Can I get a couple linemen, too?
No.
You need some offensive linemen badly.
With those picks they don't have.
You need some badly. But
tell me, if you get a better quarterback, better play caller in here, you're not a playoff team.
I think that you probably are. I still want them to upgrade the offensive line.
But this is the thing. Remember last year we were talking about this, how they were like, you know what? We need a kicker. The kicker is the thing that we need to move forward. What will they say this offseason?
It's going to be they were this close. Well, here's what they're going to do. They're going to trot out all the games that they lost by one possession, even though that's what happens in most games in the NFL. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to trot it out and say, oh, we only need to make minor changes. And I've looked at the film, and we're this close to getting it right.
Oh, and injuries.
And injuries. Even though people told them that there's going to be injuries this year, and they didn't quite prepare for it from a roster standpoint. But, again, we have plenty of time to talk about that. Anthony Heron is going to join me next. I'm looking forward to talking with him about all of these things. By the way, with the first pick in the plumbing and heating supply draft, contractors select SupplyHouse.com. With next-day delivery and total inventory coverage, SupplyHouse.com does it all. Stop wasting your time and money. SupplyHouse.com, your online supplier for plumbing, heating, and HVAC. Take it to the house, SupplyHouse.com. We'll get expert analysis from Anthony Heron. It's one of my favorite things we do on this show. It's next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.